Manarudo nivatyate,
Manarudo nivatyate,
na otherwise, karma, fruit of activities, purvana, while acting, mana ruda, being influenced by false prestige, nibhajyate, one becomes entangled, guna pravaha, by the influence of material qualities. Patita, fallen. Nashta pragya, bereft of all intelligence. Of rajati. Thus he goes. Down. Translation: otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of its real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus, he goes up and down from a microbe and stool to a high position in Brahmaloka planet. Therefore, there are many important words in this verse. The first verse is anyata, otherwise, which indicates that one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. The rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas are called shastravidhi. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that one who does not accept the shastravidhi or rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedic scriptures acts whimsically or puffed up with false pride, never attains perfection in this life, nor does he attain happiness and liberation from the material condition. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection or happiness nor the supreme destination. Thus, one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastras is simply involving himself more and more in material existence in the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life, which are summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life and material existence will continue. Foolish persons do not know that the soul is passing through 8,400,000 species of life, and the gradual process of evolution when one comes to the human form of life. He is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the living entity, since time immemorial, is suffering the threefold miseries of material nature due to his demonic attitude, which is his spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Living entities in the conditional world are my eternal fragment of parts. Due to conditional life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Every living entity is part and parcel of God. There's no reason for the living entities being put into miserable threefold conditions of material existence, but that he voluntarily accepts material existence under false pretext of becoming an enjoyer. To save him from this horrible condition, the Lord has given all the Vedic literature as his incarnational capacity. As therefore said, by forgetting Krishna, the living entity has become materialistic since time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy of Krishna is giving him different kinds of miseries in material existence. When a living entity is enchanted by the external energy, he cannot revive his original Krishna consciousness independently. Due to such circumstances, Krishna has kindly given the Vedic literature such as the four Vedas and 18 Puranas. Every human being should therefore take advantage of the Vedic instructions, otherwise one will be bound by his whimsical activities and will be without any guide. The word mana ruda is also very significant in this verse. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers and scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. Such men are generally non-devotees due to not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Bhagavatam therefore says, a person who is non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change the standard of knowledge periodically. You constantly see that one philosopher disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In the Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted, even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they may appear contradictory, they should be accepted. If one does not accept them, he will be bound by material conditions. Material conditions described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says in the song Michimaya Vashaita Chaleshi Kachabhavai, why are you suffering? Why are you sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Das Avishvas Karavatarupanai. Please therefore accept yourself as a servant of Krishna, then you will be freed from all miseries. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the perfect standard of knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, he then comes out of the material modes of nature and does not fall down and lose his knowledge. Nashta Pragya, the word Pragya means perfect knowledge, and Nashta Pragya means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge has only mental speculation. By such mental speculation, one falls down and down into a hellish condition of life. By transgressing the laws laid down in the Shastras, one cannot become pure in heart. When one's heart is not purified, one acts according to three material modes of nature. These activities are very nicely explained in verse 1 through 6 of 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita further explains, the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise up of these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendent to all, and be free from all dualities and free from anxieties for gaining safety, and be established in the self. The entire world and all material knowledge is through the three modes of material nature. One has to transcend these modes, and to attain that platform of transcendence, one must follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become perfect in life. Otherwise, one will be knocked down by the ways of the material nature of the three modes. This is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Materialistic persons who are too engaged in material enjoyment, who do not know anything beyond their material experiences, are carried by the winds of material nature. They live a life characterized by chewing the chew, and they are controlled by their uncontrolled senses. Thus they go down to the darkest regions of hellish life. Translation: otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved with the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and happiness. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of its real intelligence, perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus he goes down and down from microbial to the highest position in Brahmaloka class. So, the previous verse was talking about regulated activities and then the use of knowledge or jnana. And this verse emphasizes that by showing opposite results. And therefore it says anyata, otherwise, if you do not follow regulated activities and pursue knowledge, then your activities will simply bind you up. This is like stating the opposite effect if you don't do, and in this way it emphasizes that you should do, so therefore you should follow the Vedic regulations of activity. So the subject here is action or karma. One does activities in the material world, and as we know from Bhagavad Gita, activities can bind you into the material world, or they can also liberate you. And this is according to the type of activities you do. But the action actually is produced because of mind. So that is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the mind can deliver you, or the mind can degrade you, because the mind holds desires. Desires leads to activities. Activities leads to karma. And if we have sinful desires, then we degrade ourselves. If we have pious desires, we elevate ourselves. And if we have transcendental desires, then we go beyond the material world. So, somehow, the mind is related to the final result of where we go. Of course, if we trace that back further and we go beyond the mind, what causes the desire? Then we can trace that back a little further. and we can come up with ahankara, this false ego. This gives us an identity in the material world, which is the basis of our desires. We think we are something in this material world. And then, of course, we can trace that back further. What causes the ahankara? Why do we have ahankara? And ultimately, the final answer is ignorance, avidya. But then we can say, well, where does the avidya come from? What is it? Because avidya ultimately is, it's a negative thing, and it cannot be spiritual, obviously. It must be material, and it's not conscious in itself. So what is that avidya? How is it so influential? Ignorance is important because, and gets its power because it's related to the soul itself. The soul can be covered by ignorance. So it is related to the Atma, and that's how it gets its power. So what is this ignorance in the Atma? Atma by nature is conscious. So one can be conscious and one can have knowledge. One can be conscious and one can be ignorant. So it is simply a propensity of the Atma. In the spiritual world, the Atmas have no ignorance, only knowledge. But in the material world, all the jivas have ignorance. That is the difference. Why do they have ignorance in the material world and they don't in the spiritual world? Again, that's choice. If you choose not to have ignorance, then you don't have it. If you choose to have it, you have it. So it's ultimately the free will of the jiva. Of course, once we go either way, our fate is sealed. If you have knowledge, the Lord guarantees that it's permanent. Nityasiddhas are there forever. But in the material world, once we choose ignorance, it is not actually sealed, but it's very difficult to get out of that position. We have what I call anadi bahirmukha position. So it looks as if it is eternal. Very, very difficult to get out. Because up to this point, all the jivas in the world haven't got out. So how long have they been here? No beginning. So it's almost eternal, we could say, in that sense. But therefore they call it jivadas. But, as we know from scripture, there is a possibility of getting out. So, though the jivas in the material world are in ignorance, it is not an eternal position. It can be, if you want it to be. It doesn't have to be. It is anadi in the past, but it doesn't have to be anadi in the future, or ananta, without end. So this is the promise that scripture gives to us, that we can actually get out of this position of ignorance in the material world. So as I said, it's related to the jiva, that ignorance is related to the jiva. The ignorance is also, of course, a result, or unless it's combined with other factors like prakriti and maya, etc. And then prakriti is related to the gunas, which are mentioned here. One falls into the flow of the gunas and loses one's intelligence and then goes down. So, jiva plus ignorance equals ahankara and desires and actions in the material world, and then karma, bound up in karma in the material world. The desires and the consequent actions and the results can be in the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Ultimately, it's all covered by ignorance. Because the gunas themselves are inherent in prakriti, which is also ignorant. Prakriti has gunas as its qualities. And they manifest through ahankara, which is also ignorance. So we have ahankara in sattva, and ahankara in raja, and ahankara in tamoguna. And then we get mind from sattva guna ahankara, we get senses from raja guna ahankara, and we get material elements from tamoguna ahankara. And sense objects. So in this way, the whole material world made up of sattva rajatama is actually covered by ignorance. So even the punya in the material was also covered by ignorance. So papa and punya, both of those are actually covered by ignorance ultimately. So that is why going to Brahmaloka also is not so praiseworthy from the final point of view of Krishna, even though of course papa is condemned and punya is recommended in the Smriti Shastras. Still, ultimately Krishna condemns everything in the material. It's all covered by ignorance. The jiva is still in ignorance, still covered by ahankara when he's in the most sattvic state in the material world. So therefore is condemned. So at least for the bondage he gave. So it is described in the third canto there, Kapila describes that one can go to Brahmaloka, but one has to eventually die. And if one is not qualified by purity, then one will take birth again somewhere else again, in the material world, maybe Brahmaloka, maybe some lower planet. Of course, the possibility is that because Brahmaloka is very sattvic, one could become further purified, and then when Brahma dies, one could go to the spiritual world also, if possible, if one develops devotion. So, anyway, the even sattva guna is not ultimately praiseworthy because it is still bondage in the material world. So when it says guna pravaha patita, falls into the gunas, it can even be sattva guna. For that reason, the varnashram system is condemned because it's all the gunas. Brahmins are sattvic and sudras are tamasic, and in between we have the mixture of rajagun, tamagun, sattvagun, and the vaishyas and kshatriyas. So it's all in the gunas still. So the only good part of varnashram is the top part where you get into sattvagun and you do punyas and then you do jnana and yoga. It's relatively better. So that is why, because one can control the senses and understand atma. So Krishna says sattva guna is better than the other two gunas in Bhagavad Gita. But still it's gunas. So ultimately it has to be condemned. And that is why Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that artha, dharma, kama, moksha are the four goals, common goals in human society, but actually the real goal is prema, beyond that. So if we go for the other ones, we don't go for prema. We go for prema, we must reject everything else. We can't have liberation and all these other ones if we go for prema. So it's one or the other, ultimately. So therefore, that is why I said ultimately the varnashram system and jnana and yoga get rejected. Because if we want to achieve prema, we must exclude these things ultimately. We cannot depend on these things in any way or mix them in any way. So there'll be a tinge of gunas in all of that. So, due to the influence of first the ignorance and then the gunas, it says here, nashta pragya, one loses discriminating power or intelligence, pragya, and then one falls. So, any guna can do that. So even sattva guna, which is supposed to be prakashaka, or giving knowledge, even that ultimately is nashta pragya. It also destroys your knowledge. So, what is the real pragya then? If sattva knowledge actually is not good knowledge, and the gunas destroy your knowledge, what is real knowledge? So, of course, as I said, sattva is better than rajas and tamas because sattva allows you to have knowledge of atma. That much you can get. In that sense, okay. But that is not the highest knowledge. So though it is praised in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, so much praise about knowledge of Atman, Sankhya, and all this, we should not take that as the ultimate. So real knowledge is knowledge of the Supreme Lord and the Jiva's relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is real knowledge. That's real pragya. And the other pragya that we'll find in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, Siddhi pragya, one who withdraws his senses into the, like a turtle into the shell and all this, and is happy in realizing Atma. That is a lesser pragya. not the real front gun. Because that's only Gana, and Gana gives liberation. And liberation must be rejected if one wants prema. But therefore, it's also, in that sense, ignorant. It's not real knowledge. Right? And so all of these gunas, therefore, will cloud bhakti. Bhakti is nirguna. And anything else in the gunas is going to obstruct it in some way. So that is why in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami has emphasized that the practice of bhakti must be pure. And jnana karma janavartam, not covered by jnana and karma, and without any other desire than the desire to please Krishna. That is the very substance of our philosophy in terms of bhakti, that it cannot be contaminated by these different elements. Otherwise, we'll get mixed bhakti, which gives different results, or we'll get something less than that. Other processes with a little bhakti, which gives even lesser results. So, therefore, finally, all the gunas and all the other processes have to be rejected. Then we can actually get the proper result.
Well, the whole situation looks very complex or complicated for jiva to attain prema. It's something like 1 in trillion may achieve this. There is so much of ignorance and probably under. Here, Vedas also covers most of the part where they do other activities than bhakti. So it becomes very difficult. Why it's so that Lord has made such arrangement that it becomes so difficult for a jiva that it becomes impossible for him to come out.
But then he makes it very easy also, because he says anyone can attain me in Bhagavad Gita. Woman Vaishya Sudras will just be Brahmins and Kshatriyas can attain me. So the process of bhakti. So the general process is difficult. Through the process of bhakti, it becomes easy. And of course, through particular processes, it becomes easier. So the process in Kali Yuga is not Sankirtan, so that makes it much, much easier. And particularly because of Lord Chaitanya, who is very, very merciful. So that makes it easier.
And when we talk about non-Sankirtan, that also be without any other desires.
That's the best.
Now, having this material body, how they are not affected by the materialness of the three modes of
beauty?
How come they are not affected by
the
material body? By having this material body.
Who's not affected?
The first one was the Nitya Siddhya life.
It's just that it's not a material body, it's spiritual body.
You can see how acharyas like Narakunda, Satyaya, they are not affected with material.
Well, people in the material world who get perfection and prema are completely disconnected from their material bodies. Because they are related to the Lord, so they don't think anything of the material world. No interest in it.
Is
the
body also something like that?
What? It's spiritualized, but it's not spirit. It's not pure spirit. Because it'll die. It'll rot away also, like any other body.
What is the meaning of this knowledge actually?
There
is full of knowledge.
It's conscious. Satchitananda. Pure consciousness. Of course, we can say consciousness is equal to knowledge in one sense, but according to the will of the Lord, the jiva will have certain types of awareness and he won't have certain types of awareness also. So if one is in Rama Lila, one will not have awareness of Krishna Lila in the spiritual world. So that's a limitation of knowledge, we can say in one sense. That's the arrangement of the Lord. But in terms of ignorance of who you are, there's no ignorance there, or that we think we're a material body, etc. That type of ignorance is not there. Well, the gunas are in all the coverings, that is, in the ahankar, and the intelligence, and the mind, and in the senses. It's all affected by gunas. Atma only has no gunas, but it's covered by these things with gunas.
driving in his sadhana mode, and so then how does it act? Because activity actually cannot be performed on the level of atma. In case of somebody who is breathing in sadhana mode, it may not happen at the platform of atma. He may be doing activities.
Well, atma has to be involved, because the only way the atma can really do bhakti is if he has faith. That's the qualification. And faith must arise in the atma, not in the mind. That's the beginning of bhakti. When the jiva develops an inclination towards the Lord, not when the mind develops an inclination, that's something different. So when the jiva gets influenced and develops favorability towards the Lord, that's when he's qualified for bhakti. That is in the atma. If it's not there, then it's not bhakti. Even if you do all the activities of bhakti, it's imitation bhakti.
Maharaj, regarding attentive and inattentive service, one may accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but when at the time of actually rendering the service, that what may not be there, that is actually serving Krishna.
Yeah.
Because the activity is maybe overpowering, but in rendering the service, doing that activity. So in that case, he is not conscious per se, he is not doing that thing that, you know, this is for service to the Lord. So that's the time when he is using his mind and then he is going to do that particular activity.
So
then one.
So is it material or?
No, it's a box, just like Mahajamil chants accidentally. You get some of that, but it's a box. So when a devotee does it intentionally, it's also a box. It's a higher avas, of course, because he does have faith, and where Ajamil didn't have any faith, but he did it accidentally. He gets some influence. When a devotee who has faith practices inattentively or whatnot, then that is another type of avas, which is, I say, higher. So there's more effect to that, but it's not as strong as Sudabhati, where we actually do it with the proper intentions and favorability, etc. So it's purifying. But even that avas does not give you, if you continue like that, your ultimate result will also be sarsis, locus, etc., not prema, in the spiritual world.
Then I was fighting the battle, that time he's not human being, he's fighting.
That's different, that's the yoga mind. He's a nitya-siddha.
Does every action and thought the pure devotee carries out? Does he think that this is only for Krishna?
Yeah.
Continuously.
Tantra Sri Bhagavati Jai Ubhaya Rama Rati Jai 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 J